Hello, Cleaning Nation. Welcome to the show. It is time to have some fun, soak up some wisdom, and find everything that you need to grow your cleaning company. If you love the show, if your life is way better as a member of Cleaning Nation, show the love. Throw us a 5-star rating review, share with friends, make sure you get hooked up on Facebook, subscribe to iTunes, YouTube, we got all the good stuff. Show the world you're a proud member of Cleaning Nation. Today, we are chatting with Boris Voinovich from Westmaids. Boris just started Westmaids a couple months ago to serve the Calgary area with residential and commercial cleaning services. If you want to reach out to Boris and his team, you can get a hold of them at www.westmaids.com. Boris, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Mike. Glad to be here.
I got to be honest with you. I said his name, what I feel was perfectly, like three times off air. And then we went to record it and, hook you guys up. And it was so bad. I'm like, stop, do it again. And then we did it again. I still screwed it up. So Boris, tell the world your name said properly so I can get on with my life and sleep tonight.
Sure. Yeah. So it's pronounced Vujanovic.
See, when he says it sounds so smooth. Yeah, like, I don't know, there's like 17 vowels and it's too many, man. We gotta get you to be like Smith or Johnson. Well, I don't know, I guess those are kind of boring. Voinovich. There, I got it, right? Boris Voinovich.
Yeah, it's pretty Serbian, so happens.
Serbian. So, when you all come over here, are our names like Johnson crazy to you, or are those easy to say?
Pretty easy. A lot of the sounds are similar, so it's just like shorter names.
All right, you guys just get nuts with
it. It's funny, because...
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, and a lot of those like hard names actually translate to kind of the same thing. So
really, see, why can't you just call it Johnson if you're Johnson?
I don't know. I didn't make it up. So.
Get on that. Report back. We'll have you back on. We'll get to the bottom of this. But until then, tell us a little bit about you, brother. How'd you get in the cleaning business? How'd you get hooked up with us? Give us a little bit of your story.
So essentially, my friend and I, we just kind of we followed the founder of the Launch 27 booking web app. Because he's really open about all his basically efforts in running the maid business side of things. And we just kind of followed along just for fun, I guess, to learn some business stuff. And so we kind of knew the ins and outs of a lot of these companies. And then one day he was like, hey, do you want to try this out? And so I was like, okay. I was already running kind of a main business. And so this was kind of like a side project for us. And we took about a month to 6 weeks to sort of get set up, get everything in order. Hire people, and then we launched, and then here we are. A few months later, it kind of worked out.
Awesome. So you just launched a couple months ago. Give us a little idea. Do you have any employees yet?
So technically, no. We're currently contracting everything out, and mostly that was a revenue kind of call, because up here in Canada, you have to pay basically half the wage, so on top of the wage, another half in employment tax. And for the beginning, we just didn't want to be that much in the hole right away. So right now, we're contracting all the workouts. We do work closely with our contractors, but we're looking at hiring some people pretty quick here.
Okay, but either way, you're not doing the cleaning yourselves. You've hired people to do it. I understand what you're saying in terms of, technically they may be, in the States, it would be W-2 versus 1099. But long story short, you're not cleaning. You've got other humans that you pay money to clean in some way, shape, or form.
Exactly. I mean, there's times where we've had to kind of jump in to, fill in those gaps, but, 99% of the time we just kind of manage from the back end.
Okay. And you said that you're commercial residential. Do you have some of each, or do you just have only commercial or residential? Tell us a little about your client mix.
Yeah. So our website is geared towards residential. If you look at it, it's very specifically made for, what kind of house, what kind of service. And then we picked up commercial clients just sort of through talking to people. Our first commercial client was essentially my friend's employer. We were just kind of chatting, and then he mentioned that he didn't like his cleaners, and then my friend said, hey, can we do this, try it out, see what happens? And he said sure, and then we worked out, and then we're still there. So basically the commercial is kind of just sort of like referral in a sense, I guess.
Okay, so your main business and focus is residential. But if a commercial client comes, comes along swinging a handful of, stack of money, you're not gonna throw them out.
Exactly. Yeah, we're really focused on residential, but we definitely do look for the commercial as well.
Cool. So how many? I mean, gosh, I got to tell you, just for only being in business a couple months, you sound like you're off to an amazing start. How many contractors do you have on any given day or night?
So we're doing about one clean a day, sometimes two, but we have, I guess, six contractors in total.
That's fantastic. So six, again, I'm going to use employee and contractor exchangeably, and I totally understand what you're saying.
Yeah, no.
But so you've got six folks staff, working whatever. For you after just a couple months. I mean, part time, I'm assuming.
I guess technically, yeah. So one of them is pretty much full time. They're doing 3 to 4 cleans a week. Yeah, I mean, I guess there is like one full time equivalent, but just the way the staffing hours work out, we can't give it all to one team.
Sure, sure, sure. Okay, well, good for you, man. That sounds like an awesome start for just a couple months worth of work. How can I add some value? How can I make your life better?
So we're looking basically to take it to that kind of next level of growth. So because we basically broke even after the first month and now we're making money, but we're still kind of in that initial stage where it's not a ton of money, but it is money we can use to fund the business. So I'm really looking on kind of like a handful of good tips to try out to really take it to that next level and actually make it just like a revenue generating machine for us.
Okay, cool. Tell me a little bit about what the next level means to you, because different folks have, you know, some sure. people want $1 million business, some people just want to pay bills. So, you know, who knows what you want?
Right.
What's the next level for y'all?
So I guess if ideally, if both my friend and I could draw, you know, like a decent full time salary out of it, so let's say like $2,000 to $3,000 a month each.
So $5,000 a month in profit.
Essentially, yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah. And I got to tell you, one of the things that we don't talk about a lot, but I know we've got a lot of our listeners, is you got to be the partners. I want to make sure that you and for sure Cleaning Nation is clear on what sure. that means. Because obviously, you've got to make twice the profit, right? If you know, for $2,000-$3,000, most folks yeah. would be like, oh, that's easy. We can get you there in, you know, a couple months, no problem. But you're like, well,
totally, yeah.
that's $2,000-$3,000 each. I need to make $5,000-$6,000, right? Because there's two of us and we each want that right. wage. So that's the downside, is you've got to be twice as big to have kind of any you know, result. And the flip sure, side yeah. to that is, so that's the downside. Upside is, you guys have got the ability to really, one of the frustrating parts about the cleaning business, and it's easy to get caught up in this early on, is that constant working. If I leave, everything's going to fall apart. Nobody's in charge. Everything's a mess. And that can lead to 60-hour weeks, haven't had a vacation in 2 years, that kind of mind-numbingness. Whereas you all, since you're both owners, that's not the case, right? You should be able to leave and trust your partner to be in charge and vice versa. Is that kind of how it is so far?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, I've tried, you know, businesses with other partners before, and it just didn't work out because of just poor fit. With my current partner, we're just an amazing fit skills-wise. He's really good at handling customers and converting disasters of cleans into monthly recurring cleans, which I was amazed at. and then I can handle all the operations side because I have more of the business experience. And so, yeah, while we do, you know, kind of cut our profit in half, essentially, it's he's been a huge help. So I'm really happy to be working with him for sure.
Yeah, you just need to make sure that you're getting more than double. There should be some synergy, right? 1 + 1 should equal 2 with you guys. It should equal 5. So you want to make sure.
Exactly.
Because if you just say, well, we're going to grow twice as fast, but we have to cut it in half, so it's equivalent to being on our own, there's all the other headaches of which direction do you want to go? Which direction does he want to do? And there's all this other kind of brain damage and drama that comes with having a partner. So for it to pay off or to make sense, you need to make sure that if you were going to grow, you know, to X amount, by yourself and together, you're not growing 2x, you're growing 5x, right? There's kind of got to be a synergy to offset the extra work and headache you've got to maintain a partnership. Does that make sense?
Totally, yeah. And he's kind of on the same page. Like, we really want to grow it to a point where we can just hire a manager to oversee it. And then we can just, you know, take our share of that.
Cool. So,
that's huge.
Probably a boring, maybe not what you want to hear, but I want to make sure I give you and Clean Nation the best coaching sure. I can. Certainly with a partnership, I would probably get that foundation built first. And so many people want to do stuff like on the partner side, get like, forget it, it'll be fine. Let's just get the customers. Let's just get the employees. Let's just build, which is really step two. If you build that on a weak foundation of a poor partnership, or I shouldn't even say poor, a not clearly legally and in writing defined partnership, you're setting yourself up for growth. Because there's only two times partners fight or things go wrong. One, when there's no money, right? Like, hey, we lost money. One right. of us or both of us have to kick in cash. And then one guy worked too hard. I'm not doing it. And then that could really blow up a partnership. That's not even the worst case. The worst case is the opposite end, when there's a ton of money. All of a sudden, when it's like, hey, we're really successful, and we started, it's like, oh, I like you, you like me. I'm always going to treat you square. You're always going to treat me square. All of a sudden, you add some zeros to the value of the company and the dollars going on. you'd be shocked at how he gets crazy and he thinks that you're crazy and everybody starts acting crazy because there's a ton of money involved.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Oh my gosh, yeah. So those, and again, I've gone through this enough. I'm not just kind of guessing. I've just seen it over and over and over and over again ad nauseum. So the only antidote to that, which isn't even going to solve it, but can at least protect you and arm you, is write everything down very clearly. So when you think he's acting crazy and he thinks you're acting crazy, you can go to the writing and go, well, this is what we agreed when neither of us were crazy, and this is the rule that we're gonna follow. So the more, you don't have to get nuts about it, but the more documentation, the more clearly you spell out who's going to put what in terms of time and money, right? I've heard 1,000 times, when we started, it was awesome, everyone's working, but now my partner's a lazy bum and he still gets half the money, but he doesn't work and I do twice as much as him, or vice versa. And the problem is your partner's probably sitting telling someone else that exact same, you know, the same thing, because thing, you know, no doubt. Yeah, perspectives get a little skewed. So you want to clearly line out the three things that you want to clearly line up is money in, money out, ownership, and duties. So there should be a, hey, if I put in $1,000, you put in $1,000. That should be in writing, or not. Like if I put in more, then I get more ownership. So clear in terms of, if you take $1,000 out, do I get to take $1,000 out? What if you want to take a bunch of money out and I think the money should stay in the company? Do I have to leave my half in? Like really clearly spell out how money goes, you know, money goes in terms of if there's a cash call and the company needs money, who's required to do what? If we want to take money out, how does that work? How do you have to get my permission? Do I have to get your permission? Is it dollar for dollar? That should be written down. Ownership, is it 50-50, 49-51? If I do put more money in and you don't, does that money buy some ownership from you? And then duties, right? Do we have to work 40 hours a week? Is it, you know, what can I take a month off? And does that affect my salary? And there's no wrong or right answer. The only wrong answer is the one that we didn't write down, because most assuredly you'll have a picture in your mind that's very different than the picture in his mind. And maybe they're both fine pictures, but until you talk about it, who knows? So any, does that, I know this is super boring. You're probably hoping for more like, hey, give me sexy marketing stuff. But I just hate to see you build an amazing company and have it all crumble because the foundation wasn't right. Any thoughts or questions so far?
No, I mean, that's happened before, not to that extent, but you know, we start with these expectations and then a month later it's like, well, like this isn't what I imagined. So I think that's huge for sure.
Cool. And the last thing is what I've seen to work most effectively in the cleaning business. So all that I've told you is kind of very general. That's not cleaning business specific. I would give that coaching to owners of a car dealership or a medical, it doesn't matter, any business. Specific to the cleaning, what I've found works well, not that I've done it myself, but in people that I've coached, is, and it sounds like you're kind of there, but I just want to make sure it's clear. One person is in charge of sales, marketing, administration, all the money, basically doing everything other than cleaning. And the other person, that's all they do is they hire the cleaners, they hire the management, they check the jobs. And I don't know who's who, but one person is, I bring you customers that are happy and paying good prices. I do the collections. If the customer's pissed, I go talk to them. I make sure that we're making money. I pay the bills. Everything that doesn't have anything to do with cleaning, I handle. And the other person says, anything that has to do with cleaning, whether it's checking up or an upset customer, making them happy, hiring the staff, workers' compensation, all of that kind of crap would be the second person. Is that kind of how you guys are? Is it a little different?
Yeah, pretty similar. It's maybe not quite like cleaning versus not cleaning, but it's like, I guess a mix of the two, but it's a kind of pretty defined roles. Sure. So I think that helps a lot as well.
Okay. And again, typically it's like, hey, however you want to run your business is up to you. I have found in the cleaning business only that is kind of what shakes out best. So I would encourage you, if you're not along those lines, to consider implementing that, just so one of you can go, hey, it has to do with cleaning or the cleaning staff. I appreciate your input, but this isn't, you know, because there's two of you, right? So with three partners, just kind of always that third vote. With two of you, it's like, well, I think this, you think that. Where do we go from here? If you say, well, it has to do with cleaning and the cleaning staff, that's on you. I will give you my input and I'd like you to consider it, but you will make the final decision and I will support it 100%, because your job is to make sure all of these buildings get clean and the customer's happy, period. When it comes to, I think we should charge more, I think we should charge less, I want to fire this customer because they're not paying, I want to spend this kind of money on marketing, I want to, anything having to do with billing or marketing or client attraction or administration or, you know, all that stuff, same thing. obviously the other person should listen to the first person's feedback, but at the end of the day, it's, I'm assuming yours, but you can switch it. It's your job and your responsibility. You get the final say. There just needs to be this clarity of, if it's in this bucket, I make the decision. Of course, I'm going to respect and honor your input, but at the end of the day, I get all the votes. You get none of the votes. In this other bucket, it's reversed. Does that all make sense?
Yeah, definitely. I think that's something I'll definitely look into.
Cool.
Make sure it's clear in that way.
Before we hit the lightning round, I'll try and give you just a tidbit of like, okay, great, jerk. Now how do I freaking answer my question? So the answer to your question is, first and foremost, to go to the next level, if you don't have that foundation, you know, you're like, hey, how do I build the second and third story on top of my first story? And I'm going, hey, check your foundation, make sure it's set up for a three-story building, which is not the most fun conversation, but again, it's, I think it's the correct one. The next thing is clarity. Right. I would want to be real clear with him in terms of, because again, so right now, are you more sales and marketing, or are you more production, just so I can use the right verbiage?
I do more in the production.
Okay, so let's say you're the, you get the cleaning done, he does the sales and marketing. It's super important that you guys are clear.
In general, yeah.
Yeah, so let's just assume for purposes of this conversation that that's the case. He might say, hey, I can add 30 new clients this month. I just need to spend $5,000 on client attraction. Well, you're like, whoa, 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 I can take on 10, maybe 15 tops, right? So there needs to be a clear goal in terms of when I said, where do you want to be? It shouldn't just be like, so here's how I'd look at it. Let's say you want to make $5,000. Well, I'm going to assume that if you want let's assume a 20% profit margin, which is pretty good. That means you need $25,000 a month in sales. I'd break that up into, well, if our average customer's, you know, $250, we need 100 customers. I know I went real quick, but does that math ring true, or does that make sense so far?
Yep, definitely.
Cool. So you and he need to agree, okay, well, if I need to pick up 100 customers, do we do that in the next 3 months? Do we do that in the next year? Do we do that in the next 5 years? Because you've got to be the one to actually handle these and onboard employees. And, you know, he can give you too many customers and you can lose them all because you can't handle them. He can give you too few and you're like, hey, I can't hire anyone. We're never going to get there. So the first and foremost, I would quantify how much money do we need to make personally. I'd reverse engineer that to what does that mean we need to make gross. I'd break that down into how many new customers do we need. And of course, take into account some customers are going to quit, right? I usually figure 10% a year. So you figure that you need 110% of the customers that you really need. So when 10% leave, you're okay. And then break that down by month. So you and he both agree, his expectation is the guy that goes out and gets the clients is 3 new clients a month at, you know, $250 each, or 4 new for $1,000 a month. And in 12 months, you're going to have that $10,000 a month, or whatever the case may be. And then also agree on a budget, right? Because oftentimes the production guy's like, just go get it, just go sell. I don't want to spend any money on that. And you know, if he's smart, he's going to, dude, well, of course, you're handicapping me. If you only want 2 customers a month, yeah, I shouldn't get a marketing budget. But if you want 20, I need money. Like, that I can't do that by myself. Yeah, I need some money. So that's probably the next step I would say in going forward. And again, you can't do that if you're not really clear. Is it your job to get the work, and is it my job to get the work done? Before you have that conversation, you can't have the next conversation of how many customers do we need, how quickly do we need them, what's reasonable, and what kind of a budget should you have to make that happen. So that would be the next step. Questions, comments, or thoughts before we hit the lightning round?
No, I think it's a great point, because we kind of ran into the problem as we were starting to grow. Just organically, we started getting more and more customers. We were like, oh, we can actually service these people. So I didn't realize that was something we should look at ahead of time. So that's a good point.
Yeah, you definitely want to, especially him. He's like, dude, you yell at me when I don't get you any customers and I get you 20. You yell at me when I get you too many. Like, you're killing me. Help me out here. So again, there's no right or wrong answer. The wrong answer is the one that you haven't discussed. The right one's the one that you agreed on. For you, it might be 1,000 a month in growth. For someone else, it might be 10,000, but you just got to be right. And same thing. You need budget. You're like, hey, if you need me to hire 20 new people this month, I need money. That doesn't come. I need help. So that conversation is better had up front. Cool. Let's hit the lightning round. I'll take a break and give you the opportunity to share your experience with Cleaning Nation. I'm going to give you 3 quick questions. Sure. You're going to give 3 amazing answers. Question number 1, what's the best piece of advice you've ever received personally, professionally, just best piece of advice overall?
In general, just talk to people. So that can be either, you know, potentially your customers. You don't have to be selling them, but you just inquire, hey, do you use a service? Because that may help you identify what kind of client you're after, or they might say, oh, I do. Why do you do that? Am I looking for someone, whatever? And then even just following up, like, for example, you might think a clean went well, but it didn't, and you want to get feedback on that. Just make sure it doesn't happen again, because you will get those customers that do tell you and tell the world over social media. right? And then on the other hand, if you have a great clean, make sure you follow up and say, hey, can you post that on Yelp, Google, or whatever? Because people do look at those reviews and they do make a difference.
Great point. Couldn't agree more. Well said, Boris. Question two, what's the biggest, and this will be a tough one for you, but I'm dying to hear it. I know you're new, but what's sure. the biggest mistake you've made in the cleaning business? Maybe you can save some of the rest of us some headache.
That's actually an easy answer. make sure you have expectations for the jobs that are being performed, because we kind of went in saying, oh, if we get awesome cleaners, then we can just let them loose and everything will be good. Well, turns out we're wrong. And so we realized we needed basically just like a checklist so we can give them and say, make sure you're fulfilling the, you know, every single box for the service level you're doing. And we found that definitely helped in communication with the cleaners, but also with the customers, because they actually had something to look at and say, oh, okay, you guys did this.
Yeah, let me encourage you that, I know it probably seems like a bummer. You're like, man, that seems so obvious. How do we miss it? Let me encourage you, brother. Most folks are in the business a year, 2 or 3 years before they get that. So I get that you're like, man, stupid. How did I miss it? I'm going to go the other way and go, well played. A lot of folks don't get that. You know, they'll pay me a year and a half in to kind of walk them through that. So nice job figuring that out. Last question. What's one idea, personal or professional, that Cleaning Nation can put into practice right away? As soon as they finish listening to this podcast, they can go do it and it'll improve their life and or their business.
I guess this is kind of might sound weird to some people, but start a blog, because blogs are huge for search engine marketing and ranking, basically. And very few companies are actually investing in their online kind of search efforts, and a blog is an easy way to kind of get that started. And essentially, what it works is that the more pages your website has, the more authority Google would give your website in general, so you'll rank higher for those keywords. And each blog post is a page. And so that's just an easy way to grow your website without too much effort.
And for the folks out there that are like, because let me tell you the way that'll blow up in your face, is you start a blog, you do 2.5 posts, and then maybe one more a month from then. And then when I come to your blog, I notice that you did 2, and they sucked, and they're 2 years ago. Right. Take it down. That's going to hurt you. So if you're like, oh my gosh, course, I just have so much to do, I can't do it. You can get someone on Fiverr or Upwork, or there's a lot of options. You can pay someone shockingly inexpensive.
Absolutely,
and,
yeah.
If you're doing SEO, they should already have people. So long story short, there's more than one way to blog that cat. I tried to go skin that cat and I don't think it works. Sorry about that, Clean Nation. I've really let you down. There's more ways to attack that problem. Yeah. Boris's last name I'm still kerflubbled. So by the time this is over, I'll have my head together. Anyway, long story short, just because you're not willing or able to do that consistently doesn't mean that you can't have a blog. There's lots of ways to do it. And that's great advice. Boris, thank you for joining us. Thank you for showing your passion. I love what you've accomplished in just the short time you've been in business. I appreciate you. I know that Clean Nation appreciates you. Clean Nation, if you want to check out Boris's show notes page, see how I make a new page for every single podcast, see what we did there, and discover everything you need to grow your cleaning company, it's all growmycleaningcompany.com. Leave your questions, your comments, your remarks. I will see you there.
Congratulations. You are now 16% smarter. Still can't get enough cleaning goodness? Go to